Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until 3 o'clock here this afternoon. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here. And we're glad to have you with us as well. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, well, hopefully we'll hit some of those things. You can give us a call today. We've also got some other things to mention. Our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to touch on a couple of things as well as we get started. But of course, I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we certainly give you an invitation to visit us and actually invite you to visit us tonight. If you're not doing anything tonight, you're looking for something to do on a Friday night, you can join us out in Richfield where we meet. We are located, of course, at, well, we don't meet in a traditional church building. As people say, oh, it's hard to find you. I said, well, if you're looking for a building with a steeple on it, you probably won't find us. Instead, you got to find us at in a little commercial zone, and there in Richfield at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's right near 77 and 271 in Richfield, and we're in Suite 200. We're just in a little commercial space there, but we'd love to have you come out and visit. We are certainly going to be there at 7 o'clock tonight. We'll be talking about people's questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, just like we do here on the radio program. So we'd love to have you visit us. And then, of course, we're there on Sunday. We're there every Sunday at, our morning service is at 11 o'clock. I'm currently preaching through the book of John. And we're just finishing up with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And then, of course, on Sunday evenings, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs. And we're in Proverbs chapter 24, I believe, right there on Sunday evenings. So we invite you to come out if you don't have a church home, if you're looking for a place that preaches the Word of God. It's a shame how many churches have gotten away from preaching the Word of God. I remember one time being back in my Air Force days, and of course, this is going back a ways, but back in the 80s, going to something on base where the, at the base chapel, where the chaplain was supposed to be preaching, and she did a whole sermon, and she never once opened her Bible, and I was involved in a missions church off base, and I can remember we had some people who ended up being a part of our work there, and they had gone to the chapel when they first were stationed there, and they said that they went there, and they brought their Bibles, and they had them ready, and they said they never opened them. They said they took them the next week, and they noticed people were looking at them funny. And so eventually they just stopped taking their Bible because they never opened it, and everybody looked at them funny for having their Bible with them. Well, we want to keep people in the Word of God, and I like how Pastor Lutz always reminds people in the King James Bible. We're talking in the English language here, so we're not worried about word in the Hungarian language or in Arabic or whatever right at the moment. We're more concentrated on English. So we encourage people and direct people to the King James Bible for a variety of reasons. And if you're curious, come out on a Friday night Bible study and you can ask why. And we'll address that issue. But we talk about anything and everything, just like we do oftentimes on our radio programs here. And if you don't believe that, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can read a variety of articles there. Even got some things in there if you look, defending the King James Bible. And there's links to our home church as well, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor. Well, wanted to touch on a number of things here today. And I think first and foremost, I've got to talk about what month it is. And of course, it is, you say it's June. Well, if you listen to our sister station 1420, Bob France in the morning, he's calling it Groom. And there's a reason for it. That's because this is what is known as Pride Month. And they have taken the month of June and they have turned it into Pride Month. Now, this is not, I'm just trying to think here where I want to jump into this at, but Pride Month was an outgrowth of the last Sunday in June, which was celebrated as Gay Pride Day. And then that was expanded to a week, and that week was expanded a little bit to finally an entire month. And this is a celebration. It's expanded from just gay and lesbian, as they call it. Depending on when you look it up, you'll see it listed as Pride Month, listed as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, LGBT Pride Month. I looked at another site, and it's listed as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer Pride Month, LGBTQ. And then another had it listed as LGBTQI+. And that stood for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex. And I think the plus is for anything else they want to add in there. And it just keeps getting bigger and more inclusive every year, although there is one group that they specifically try to exclude, and of course that is Bible-believing Christians. But just wanted to touch on this a little bit here today, and we're going to look at some scriptures here along with this, but Pride Month, as I said, started as a commemoration of the 1969 Stonewall riots in New York City. The Stonewall Inn was a well-known gay bar in New York City. And periodically at the time, police would go in and they would arrest a number of people, and because they had laws against certain things. One of them was if you wore more than, I think, three articles of the opposite sex clothing, you could be arrested, I believe was one. One of them was it was illegal to serve alcohol to homosexuals, known homosexuals, I think is how the law went, something like that. And so periodically they would go into these different bars, and they would go in undercover and they would document them, and then they would round people up, and it usually they would get a lot of the people who were in there and the people who worked there. And there's some other laws against homosexuality and things that they would begin to enforce. And so this would happen periodically. Well, in 1969, they went in, and as they were doing this, it just began a sort of an uprising outside where people began, a number of the homosexual community began an uprising, which eventually became riots. And so the Stonewall riots are viewed, I guess, in two different ways. One, riots against the police for enforcing the law, and the other is considered to be the beginning of the gay pride movement in this country to outlaw anti-gay laws and practices, so that's where they began to celebrate the uprising, the riots, and called it Pride Day, then Pride Week, then Pride Month, and expanded beyond gay and lesbian to all these other weird, abnormal, sexually deviant alphabet group type groups that the left can dream up are being added to this. Well, this made me think about something, and I thought, pride. Where do we find pride coming in the Bible? Because when you look at this group of people, this group of people who are very proud of what the Bible tells us is deviant, ungodly, unbiblical behaviors. Now, before I going further, I want to mention something. We all agree the Bible says that you should not lie. We should be truthful, and that all liars, the Bible says, will be cast into hell. Well, here's the problem. I heard one guy talking one time. He said, listen to me closely. He said, I am a liar. said, I was born this way. I can't help myself. I am a liar. I lie because that's what I am. And then he said, but you know what? God says it's wrong. And I have to work to restrain myself from lying because lying is against God's law. Well, he was making an analogy in that discussion about people who are consumed with sexual deviant practices of various sorts, whether it's sodomy, lesbian, gay, homosexual, whatever you want to call it, saying, well, I was born this way. I can't help it. Well, he said, I was born a liar. I can't help it. But I recognize that it's against God's law, and I have to restrain myself. And in making the point that their argument that I was born this way, I can't help it, is going to somehow justify before God something that God says is wrong. In Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 24, the Bible says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. He continues in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And then he says in verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And this is a pretty sound condemnation of all manner of sexual deviancy, as well as a great many other things there, including in that list talking about the proud and things like that. And so when I look at this last part of this, verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them, they take pride in breaking God's laws. They take pride in doing that which God says is abominable, and they take pride in it. And this reminded me that there was a scale that was put together, and I've mentioned before the Riddle scale of homophobia, and it's got 8 levels. And the first 4 levels are called homophobic levels of attitude, and the last 4 are called positive levels of attitude. And it begins with repulsion, that's number 1. Number 2 is pity. Number 3 is tolerance. Number 4 is acceptance. Number 5 is support. Number 6 is admiration. Number 7 is appreciation. And 8 is nutrients. Now, I'm not going to go into all of the discussion of what these levels mean, but I do want to mention that if you thought, well, I'm willing to be tolerant, I'm a live and let live kind of guy, whatever people do in private, that's between them, as long as they don't flaunt it, I'm tolerant. I'm not homophobic. I'm sorry, but according to this scale, which is used widely by many institutions, educational institutions, just all over the place, various organizations and corporations and all use this. If you consider yourself tolerant, you're considered homophobic. And that's, to them, you have to be changed. I say, well, I'm not just merely tolerant. I can accept them. It's not for me, but I can accept if it's for you, but it's but it's not for me. You know, live and let live. I'm happy. I can we can agree to disagree. I'll accept you for who you are. I'm sorry. According to the Riddle scale of homophobia, you are still classed as homophobic. And they use this to artificially inflate the numbers to inflate the problem of homophobic attitudes and views. It's not until you actively support them that you achieve the positive level of attitude. And that's just barely. You have to go beyond supporting them to actually admiring who they are and what they're doing, and then appreciating them and working, of course, to the point where you'll begin to nurture them and nurture that in others. And of course, this is all anti-God. And I thought, well, it's all comes back to pride, and we're going to be proud. And so we got this whole month where we're going to be proud, and they fly the rainbow flag. You know where the flag, the rainbow came from? Does anybody remember or think about where the rainbow came from? Let's go back to Genesis here for a moment, and I still haven't got to the main text that I wanted to get to today. But in Genesis chapter number 8 here, I'm looking for the rainbow here, and let's see, I had it right in front of me here for a minute. Here it is. I'm sorry, chapter 9, I'm looking in the wrong chapter. In chapter 9, and as we come in verse 12, God is speaking to Noah. It says, "And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow that shall be seen, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh is upon the earth." Now, remember why God destroyed all flesh off from the face of the earth? Well, that's back in chapter 6, where he talked about in verse 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented God that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing that fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made them." And so the whole reason for the flood was the wickedness and the pride that people had fallen into. They didn't need God. They didn't want to acknowledge God in anything anymore. They looked to themselves. They were doing everything themselves, and they become, as they devolved into pride, they become more and more wicked, more and more distant from God, flaunting more and more God's laws more and more depraved. Does this sound familiar when you consider the things that go on in Pride Month celebrations? I'm not going to get into all the details, but the idea of naked and semi-naked people parading around proudly in front of children, doing all manner of perverse things in public view to celebrate pride, it sounds like a celebration of sin and wickedness and a rejection of God, pride in oneself. Well, that's why I believe that the movement has taken the rainbow as their symbol, the rainbow flag. They've taken the very symbol that God gave as a symbol of mercy, and they have stuck it in God's eye, basically saying we're going to spit in your face, God, and we're going to use the very thing that you gave as a symbol for mercy as a symbol of our pride and depravity, and just taunting God. Well, where does this attitude come from? Where does this attitude of pride come from? And I think it's telling that it's called Pride Month. In Isaiah chapter 14, we read a very interesting account. If you have a King James Bible, you won't be able to read what I'm reading, but if you have a King James Bible, you can. You can read some of it in other Bibles, but you'll miss things. It says in chapter 14, verse 12, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" Now, let me pause here for a moment. If you don't have a King James Bible, you'll probably never see that because they've taken Lucifer's name out in many Bibles. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. And then God says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners? And when we read this statement here, this is the fall of Lucifer. Lucifer here, the Bible says, he was lifted up with pride. This is the same individual that over in Ezekiel chapter 28 is referred to as the king of Tyrus. And he says of him here in Ezekiel chapter 28, in verse 11, son of man, take up lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. Yeah, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub which that covereth. I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. Here's the interesting thing. You ever notice something? Iniquity was found in him. What does iniquity start with? Starts with the letter I, right? Okay, I is the center of the word sin, if you think about it, sin. I is the center of sin. You know what the heart of pride is, P-R-I-D-E? Well, right there it is again, I. It's right at the center. Now, if you wear glasses like I do, you're aware of what happens when you have eye trouble. When you have eye trouble, you don't see clearly. And this is what happened with Lucifer. He got lifted up, proud of himself, rather than having pleasure in what God created and done for him, having pleasure in serving God. He was the anointed cherub which covereth. My personal belief is that you read in Revelation chapter 4, when John's caught up into the throne room of God and he sees the four angelic creatures that are surrounding the throne of God saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I believe that Lucifer hovered over the throne of God, his covering with all manner of gemstones that we saw there in Ezekiel chapter 28. You can imagine that reflecting the glory of God as the light coming off from God on his throne reflected and refracted through those gemstones in Lucifer's covering and shining out from that place. It would have been an incredible sight, but instead of glorying in God, he began to glory in himself, and that was the five statements that he made in Isaiah chapter 14. I will ascend into the heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See that? I. It's pride trouble or eye trouble. And sin, center of sin is I. The center of pride is I. We get in trouble when we put our eyes upon ourself rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, upon God. And this is the problem that we have. We have a month now that basically says I will do what I want, and I won't do what God is. I will take glory in myself and not God. That's what Pride Month is. Well, you know, the Bible said pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is what they're setting themselves up for. Pray for those people who are caught up and snared in these deviant attitudes and activities. They're snared by the devil. They're looking at themselves. They need to be abased. They need to humble themselves and put their faith in Christ as their Lord and Savior. I hope you've done that. Pray for them. Pray for us. God bless. Have a great
week. You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.